Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and we have been going through week by week what the En Route Academy looks like and what it feels like and what you go through. And obviously, you can go back into the other episodes and see week by week what you are going to be learning, what you are going to be doing as you go through the En Route portion of the academy. This week, we are on week 12, the final week. Now, having said that, as I've explained a couple times during this, that I'm going on days, and so there are 60 days, you divide them 5 days a week, that's obviously 12 weeks. So what we are on is day 56 through day 50. And depending on whether you have holidays, which most of you will experience during the 12 weeks, or you have a weather day, which can obviously happen in Oklahoma City, or anything like that, it will extend and go beyond an actual physical 12 weeks. But it's 60 days, so we divided it by five, come up with 12 weeks. So this is day 56. You're already into the 12 problems, the 12 scenarios. At the beginning of this day, you're going to have, or sometime during the day, you're going to have what they call a TR briefing. You had one in non-radar, and this one's very similar. And they give you the hows and whys that you can file to have them review your scenario if you think they graded you wrong. Okay. It's a very important briefing. Listen to it. Listen to the details. I have seen students go from not passing initially, file a TR, file a correct TR and get points and enough points where they end up passing. Okay, so it's a very important briefing. And then on day 56, you're going to go through 12 KLM, what I like to call the Royal Dutch 12s, since KLM is the identifier for that airline. You will get to monitor one of your classmates, and that's always good. It's always good to be able to watch someone else run a problem. You get to see, number one, how they handle the situations. And most importantly, you get to see just how much time there is to do each and every individual task that they ask you to do. There is time. They give you time. Time is built into the scenarios. It will be built into the problems you see at the end of this week, when they really count. Okay? There is time. And it's very important that you understand that so that you don't rush through things. When you have a task that's given to you, you don't rush through it assuming that you know exactly what you need to do. Take a few seconds. Count to three, count to five. And I don't mean, it doesn't have to be 1001 or one Mississippi or whatever you want to do it to elongate that time. It can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It gives you time to just kind of reset your brain and consider what it is that the FAA is actually asking you to do. Okay? Because the FAA is very adept at making you think it's one thing when it's actually something else that they want you to do, or drawing your attention to one part of the radar or to your EDST, your ACL, to the printer even, when you should be looking at something else. Okay? So when you monitor someone, you get to watch one of your classmates, you're going to get to see that. Now, these problems that they are coming up with are very complex. There are a lot of airplanes. in 40 minutes, you're going to have almost 40 airplanes. Not quite, but almost. Okay? And there may be, and probably will be, at least 40 tasks to do in that 40 minutes. And it doesn't sound like, they're like, Tom, you just said we have plenty of time. You do have time. These tasks do not take a minute apiece. Several of them don't take much time at all. Okay? But just work through the steps that you know and have learned and have practiced, and you know how to do each and every task. I would tell my classes going into the last 2 days, listen, you have done every task that the FAA has asked you to do in all of these practice scenarios. And I guarantee you that you have done each and every one of these tasks correctly at least once in one of these scenarios. Okay? And I'll make that comment to you as well. If you're going through the academy, if you're looking at the evals that are coming up, you work and you do your part in the radar lab. And this goes for the tower labs as well, and RTF. You do the work, and I guarantee you, by the time it comes up to your evaluation scenario, whether it's en route, tower, TRACON, you will have done everything that they are going to ask you to do correctly at least once. And so going into your evals, start to picture it. Start to run through the scenarios in your head where you have done things correctly. Okay? Professional athletes do this. It's called visualization. It works for controllers. Visualize what you have done correctly. Visualize the positives that you've experienced through the labs. And have those pictures in your mind when you start to do your evals. Okay, so day two of the final week, you're going to do 12 NOP. 12P has some traps. I'm not going to go into them. I refuse to go into them because there's a reason for the traps. This is the FAA uses these quote-unquote traps to reinforce in your head what needs to be done. Okay? Not going to give anything away. Do not care to, because you need to experience this. You need to experience this. You need to go through it. You need to have that reinforcement. Okay? So just understand that these things that the FAA does, and that 85-90% of the students miss, there's a reason it's in there. It's to reinforce that that is a rule, that that is something you have to do, so that you will remember it over the next 2 days that come up in this week. And so use those scenarios in general. The 12s are above the level of complexity that the evals are going to be in, or going to be at. I say that's in general. Now, some students have not felt that way, but, and that's because they had their own issues with the evals, whereas they didn't have those issues with the 12s. And so it kind of skews that judgment. But just understand that the way it's set up is for the 12s to take you past where you need to be, and then the evals come back a little bit from those. Okay? So, 12 NOP. It's the last day of practice in the radar lab. Okay. I'll make a little side note here. The most important thing you can do this week is get some sleep. Please. Try to get some sleep. And if you can't sleep, if your brain's just going a million miles an hour, at least stay in bed and let your body rest, even if your mind refuses to. Okay? At least let your body rest. Try not to get up and start doing stuff if you can't sleep. You will be exhausted mentally and physically. Stay in bed, rest, and at least that way, physically, you will have rested. Even if mentally, emotionally, you may still be exhausted. Okay? So, back to our week. Day 58. First day of radar evals. Two-thirds of the class are going to run two problems. One-third of the class will only get to run one problem on day one. They will have the joy of running two problems on day two. And obviously, those of the class that ran two problems on day one will run one problem on day two. So, 66 points are available on these two evals. The easiest way I've found to figure out what you need in order to pass is, and Discord has a grading spreadsheet. I think it's on Sheets in that format, but it will tell you exactly what you need average wise. And then what you do is you take those, that average, let's say it's 70 on three problems. Well, that means you need to get a 70 on each run, or a total of 210 points on the three runs. Okay? All I did was multiply 70 times 3. So now you know how many points you need to get overall over the next three runs. And let's go ahead and start with the obviously negative scenario. And let's say you get a 10 on the first run. Well, now you can still pass, but you need to get to 100s. Okay? The goal of the first run, of course, is to get as high as you can. Shoot for 100. People score 100 on these evals all the time. Now, having said that, do you really think that there are students that run perfect problems? This is not a computer-graded test. This is graded by a human being who is trying to grade whether they feel like you can do this job and have a career as an air traffic controller. In a lot of ways, it is very cut and dried, black and white. You made this mistake. You did this well. In other ways, it's very subjective. I know it shouldn't be, but it is. And in some cases, it's good that it is. Okay? But just understand that you're being graded not by a computer. You're going to be graded by a human being. And so these people, and I've had students get, I had one student get 100, 197 on his three runs. Do you really think that that person ran two and almost three perfectly correct problems where they did not make one single solitary mistake? They were good. I'm just not sure they were that good. Okay, so understand, your job is to do the job that you sit down and you run the scenario they give you to the best of your abilities. Try your best. You may have to acknowledge the evaluator. They may say hello, but you can't ignore them. Say hello. They may introduce themselves. Say hello. they already know who you are. They have a name on their grade sheet. Okay. After that, when you sit down in a chair to start your eval problem, ignore the supervisor or the evaluator who is now acting as your supervisor. Ignore them from that point on. If you have to instruct your supervisor, if you have an emergency or say you have an equipment outage and you've had two deviations or two equipment outages, you have to notify the supervisor. You have a change of destination, anything like that. There is nothing in anything that the FAA has ever printed or ever told you that says you have to turn around, make eye contact with that evaluator, and tell them what you need to tell them. It just says inform your supervisor. Notify your supervisor. You can do that and should do that either facing the radar or facing the monitor in front of you and not turning around. They will acknowledge you. But aside from that, pretend that they're not there and it's just you and the radar working traffic. That is how you run an evaluation problem. Okay, so we hit the obviously incredibly negative scenario, scoring a 10. I have seen students who obviously didn't need to average 70, they needed to average something in the 60s, get a 3 on the first problem and still pass. The goal of the first problem is, yes, you want to get 100. I would tell my classes, get 100 on the first run, get it out of the way. Get 100 on the second run so that you pass after two runs. Get 100 on the third run so that you're picking first. The guy that got 100, or he got, I don't remember the exact order, I think it was 197 and 100, he did end up picking first. He was first in his class. He wasn't when the day started, when the eval started. He was not. He was number 4. I've seen students go from number 4, number 5, in a class of 6, and end up being number 1 in their class. It can be done. Okay? So on the other end of that, like I said, get 100. Let's say you need 210 points. Let's say you get 65. Let's go 65. Okay. Now you need, 145 from your 2? You haven't increased what you need to average on the next two runs by very much at all. And you have done your first radar eval, which I don't really care about the complexity of it. I don't care about the number of airplanes in it. It will be the roughest for you to do. And that is mainly just because it's the first one, similar to what you went through in non-radar. And for you tower guys, it's similar to going through the ground or the flight data clearance delivery one. You know, whichever one you do first is going to be the most difficult because you're not familiar with it. After that, yes, it may be a more complex problem that you're going to encounter on that second one. And sometimes the scores will go down. I understand that. But that's more from a technical point of view as opposed to an emotional and mental point of view. That first run is very difficult. Okay? So, back to our scenario of getting a 65. Now, you have to average, 72.5 over the next two runs. Let's say you get an 80. Well, now you've got 145 of the 210 points that you needed. Now you only need that 65 again that you got on the first run. Okay? Break it down. And another thing to remember is stay focused on what is happening at that moment in the radar room, in the lab, you and the R-Sign. That's all that matters. The rest of the world doesn't matter. What your grade is at the end of the problem doesn't matter. What your grade in the previous problem was doesn't matter. Okay? Now, if the unthinkable happens, pardon me, and you end up making a score on any of the runs, the first, second, or obviously on the third, and it's no longer mathematically possible for you to pass. Okay? They will inform you that. They will let you get your stuff, and they will take you upstairs and start some paperwork. It's a very emotional time. Believe me, it's a very emotional time for your instructors. But the reason I went into that is I want to tell you, as long as they let you have a seat in that radar lab, you have a chance. Make the most of it. Okay? Now, those 2 days, some of the most stressful days you will ever go through. I have seen, pardon me, I've seen classes that were incredibly close. And, you know, they didn't get everybody through. Class of 16 that had 14 get through. Class of 12 that had 10 get through. Incredibly close classes. And it's difficult when you have a friend that you have spent 3 months getting to know and going through one of the roughest things you can go through in life, and they're not there. And I can tell you, watching the students that I've had, it leaves a hole. And that hole goes with them to their first facility, because you will remember for a long time those of your classmates who didn't pass. I still tell stories to this day of a couple of guys in my class that didn't pass. I do not remember their names. Sorry, guys. I just remember certain things about them. But they didn't make it. And yet, at the same time, you're going to be ecstatic because you have passed. And some will pass after 2 runs. It's possible. If you need to average 60 and you get 290s, you pass after your second run. And they will inform you that you have passed. They won't have to. You'll know it. I have never known a student that didn't know exactly what they needed to get. That's good news and bad news. Okay? But just realize, the goal of the first problem, sure, it's 100. The goal of the second problem is 100. Goal of the third problem is 100. But the secondary goal of the first problem is to not shoot yourself in the foot. Okay? Give yourself a chance to go on and do better in the second run and do better in the third run. That is the secondary goal of that first problem. So, those are 2 days. 2 days of radar evals. If you're fortunate, they will be back to back. If you're unfortunate, you may have July 4th coming up. Let's say that a class is evaling on July 3rd. On Thursday, they then have to wait until Monday for day two. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen where you eval the day before Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. I've seen the day before Christmas That one's a little shaky because a lot of times the presidents will make Christmas Eve a holiday, which kind of throws off the schedules. And it throws them off a lot. There's a lot of scrambling that has to be done around the academy when that happens. But for the most part, they plan for that so that it doesn't happen. Okay? So you could have the dreaded 4 days in between or 3 days in between. You could have just the Friday, Monday. You know, it happens. There's nothing you can do about it. It just happens. You have to deal with it. But you're going to have 2 days of evals at the end of those 2 days, and you'll generally know about an hour before the end of the day on that second day. You'll know who's passed from your class and who hasn't. And then you start thinking, obviously, about where you're going to go to your first facility. And back when I was a lead and a lead, they were very restrictive as to how many slots were available. It's not quite that bad. It's not that bad at all. These days, I look at the class lists on Discord, and you have quite a selection to choose from. The key is you want to be as high as you can in your class so that you get to pick possibly before someone else. Like I said, those classes that were really close and bonded really well, they knew where everybody wanted to go. They weren't going to pick somewhere that they knew someone else was counting on. It's led to some very emotional times in that room. But so you'll know pretty much after that second day of evals. And then the last day, day 60, is selection day. And that's where they have you come in just a little bit later than normal. And you spend some time actually making and filling out some paperwork and making your official selection of where you're going to go for your first facility. That when I went through, it was 2 days, but it doesn't take very long to do these days. And then they'll give you contact information for the manager at your facility. He knows that there may be people contacting him, students contacting him, so he will more than likely be available every once in a while. Something comes up and they're not available to talk to you, but they'll set up something. And so they'll let you know when you need to be there. After day 60, day 61, you have, like, I think you have a little bit of time on day 61 to actually move out of the place that you've been living for the last 3 months and start your move to your first facility. And so that is the academy. That is the en route portion of the academy. I've been through RTF. I've been through the TRACON program. I'm sure it's changed since I went through. I would sincerely hope that it has. The Tower program, I know and have worked with a couple of the, actually three or four of the Tower instructors. And I've watched you in the simulation lab. I've been through the tabletop lab, and I'm now working at a tower. And so, you know, I know what you're going through. I definitely know what the en route guys are going through. And like I said, I've run some of those TRACON problems. They're fun, but they're also maddening. But that is a overview, if you will, of what the academy, the en route academy, is like week by week, sometimes day by day. And it is quite the process. And I guarantee you, those of you who are going through it, that when you do get to day 58, 59, and 60, you will not be the same person that you were on day one. And you're definitely not going to be the same person you were on day negative 20 when you got to basics. You will grow. You will become, as they put it, when you pass, an academy graduate. Well on your way to becoming a CPC, a certified professional controller. It's a great career. It's not an easy one. And the academy is just the start of that. You're going to have long hours. You're going to have sometimes no sleep, sometimes very little sleep. You're going to work and be working airplanes when you don't really feel like working airplanes. I mean, it's like every other job, every other career. There are days you go to work and you feel great and you're excited about going to work. And there are days when you go to work when you're going to work only because you have to go to work. It's no different from any other career in that way. The only way it will be different is the traffic will be different and the solutions to the traffic will be different. And you will continue to grow, continue to get better and better and better as an air traffic controller. I got better at every facility that I went to. I grew so much and changed so much. And I am still trying to grow and still trying to change and still trying to get better. So that is the En Route Academy. And for those of you going through it, realize you don't have to go through it alone. Just, you know, email me, TomHaines@SideBySideATC.com. You don't even have to put anything in the email. Just emailing me lets me look at your name, and I can start thinking about you, praying about you, hoping that you're getting what you need to get through the academy, because that is my one and only goal, is to help you guys and girls get through the academy and get into this amazing, incredible career that is air traffic control. There's nothing like it. And so email me. I will tell you this. I think about you and that's the overarching you of the audience every day, hoping that those of you that are already in this journey are getting what the help that you need, are getting the support that you need. And for those of you who are thinking about getting into this journey and starting this journey, that you are prepared for what it's going to be like. We call the academy a military-style boot camp, that instead of physical endurance, tries to build some mental endurance and stretch you in ways that you just didn't know you could be stretched. And it does a pretty good job of that. And so, like I said, if you ever need to talk, you ever need to just email back and forth or set up a phone call, doesn't cost anything. Just email me, TomHaines@SideBySideATC.com. You can go to the website, SideBySideATC.com, and sign up for the free phone call there. You can look at what I offer as far as coaching plans. I am in the process of trying to come up with some training videos that will help and that will be available. Hopefully I can work it out with the FAA where it'll be available to every student. That's my goal. That would be wonderful. But until then,
We'll try and make it available to you listeners. But that's in the future. It's going to take a while to get there. I'll keep you up to date on anything as it happens. But for now, I hope you enjoyed our trip through the Academy. The reason I did it is so it can be out there, so that you can look at it, so that it might help you as you're going through. And then what we're going to do coming up is kind of how to prepare for going to Oklahoma City in more detail than I've done before. I've talked about it before, but this is going to be in detail. Okay? So, for those of you already there, like I've said, have heart, keep going, don't give up. If you need help, reach out. I'm here. Reach out. There are resources. Get support. Get the help that you need. Get the information you need. That's why I'm here. Okay? For those, like I said, for those of you who are looking into it, hey, give me a call. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the pros, the cons, you know, what your background is, you don't even need to have a background. I didn't have a background when I got into air traffic control. Not many people did. Okay? But hey, I'm here. That's what I do. And so, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being there. I continue to be astounded by the numbers of listeners and followers. Thank you. If you feel like you're getting something from this podcast, then please give me a 5-star review. Send the podcast to people that you know that need it or that might be interested in it. And just thank you again so much for listening. And remember, you don't ever have to go through this journey by yourself, no matter where you are on this journey. I'm here, and we can get through it side by side. Bye.